One of the big four recruiting websites has changed the way it does weighted industry, the averages and all that. It is My Home on Three. About the change of the recruiting sites, that and more on Tennessee's new commit, J.J. Harrell. That and more coming up here on your Wednesday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into it. This is Locked On Vols, and I'm your host, Eric Kane. Appreciate you guys taking the time to hang out with me here today. Watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. Let's get this channel built up, and as always, listening, making you your first listen each and every day. Got a lot to get into today. We got Josh Ward coming up in about 10 minutes, but I want to start off by bringing on a good friend of mine and a co-worker over at VolQuest.com, and his name is Matt Ray. Matt, I appreciate you joining us, and I don't want to waste your time. Let's dive right into the content. Tennessee got a surprise commit a couple of days ago, Monday afternoon, and four-star wide receiver J.J. Harrell becomes the fifth commit for Tennessee, the second on the offensive side of the football. What do you like about J.J. Harrell? And I know that Tennessee's been high on his mind for quite some time.
Yeah, J.J. Harrell surprised everybody on Monday afternoon, kind of came out of nowhere with the commitment to Tennessee. You know, the Vols have been, you know, in a really good spot for him, you know, dating back to even before they offered. There was conversation before they offered. He watched the Tennessee offense, liked what he saw, liked what they did with Jalen Hyatt, you know, the receivers in general. And he checked it out in January, you know, shortly after Tennessee offered, and, you know, just felt that connection with Kelsey Pope. Told us at the time that he was leaving that Tennessee was the team to beat, number one. Took a couple more visits. Ole Miss tried to swing. LSU tried to swing. Alabama offered. They were a major factor for, you know, J.J. Harrell, at least for what we thought for a little while. But then he just couldn't overcome that feeling to choose Tennessee. And there's a lot to like about J.J. Harrell. Probably one of the biggest risers in the most recent On 300 rankings that came out Monday afternoon as well. Went from unranked to 86th overall. A guy that can just do a lot of things, you know, and kind of a perfect match with Tennessee's offense. He stretches the field vertically. He makes plays with the ball in his hands. He just seamless. It just kind of looks effortless to him at times. But, you know, just one of those guys that, again, has that legitimate game speed. You know, he doesn't have a lot of verified times out there. I don't know that anybody knows what J.J. Harrell runs on a laser for a 40 right now. Most of everything he's probably done has been hand-timed, you know, over the years. But when you turn the film on, the game speed's real. You know, he's a guy that is a playmaker, going to help Tennessee in the screen game, can line up inside or outside if he needs to, because he's a natural leaper, so he can work down the field. But there's just so much to like about J.J. Harrell, and it seems like he's just really getting started too.
Well, it's good to hear. Obviously, Tennessee's offense, one of the most explosive in the country, led the nation in scoring offense and total yards and all that in 2022. So needing playmakers to throw the football to, always big down the line. And Tennessee got another one, a commit for the class of 2024 in J.J. Harrell. Tennessee now sits at ninth in the On Three industry rankings. And kind of on that note, Matt, it's no secret, and I talk about it on this podcast all the time, and obviously we work for On Three, and yeah, I used to work for Rivals, and 247 does a great job, and I have no, I'm trying to be professional. I have no respect for recruiting coverage at ESPN, and I just don't. I think it's lazy. And Shannon Terry, you don't have to comment on that. I will. Shannon Terry, who you know, is the creative On Three, who, a little history lesson, started Rivals, sold it. Started 247, sold it. Now he started On Three. Just kind of the godfather of fan sites, if you will, right? He has come out and he's changed the way On Three does its industry rankings. Now, an algorithm, it's valuing past performance and scouting and recruiting coverage investment. It's now going to give 35% to the On Three rankings, 35% to the 247 rankings, 20% to Rivals, and 10% to ESPN. So it's weighing heavily your where you are with On Three and 247. It's taking much into consideration where Rival sees you, and then a little bit into where ESPN sees you. Now, this is big because it helps kind of weed out some of you know, like an ESPN that doesn't do as much as the other sides, but also, you know, for Tennessee targets and for Tennessee prospects, it changes the way they are in those weighted averages. What do you think about this new path that On3 is taking, and what do you like about the percentage breakdown?
Yeah, I personally like it. I mean, I'll go back to, I was in Atlanta this weekend at the Under Armour Atlanta Regional Camp Series, and there were so many guys there on the field, you know, that you know, were able to look at and get your eyes on throughout the day. But then look around at the media. There were 65 media members there, and I'm going to say that probably more than 70% were from On3 and 24/7 Sports. So, you know, that average kind of, you know, speaks to itself. The ability to have boots on the ground, the track record with evaluations and hitting, and the way that they do things in somewhat similar fashion all go hand in hand, in my opinion. You know, go back to the 10% with ESPN. Maybe there was somebody there, you know, that was scouting for ESPN, but I don't know who they were if they were there. I saw people that I knew from Rivals, you know, not as many. I saw a lot of people that I knew from 24/7 Sports, and I saw a lot of people from On3. And I think it's a right path for On3 to take. And again, like you said, Shannon Terry is, you know, the godfather of fan sites, team sites, and, you know, has started Rivals, started 247, and is now at On3. And, you know, again, he continues to change the game and everything that he does. And I think this is another one of those moves. It's just, those rankings are so skewed at times when you look at it on an equally weighted average. And the thing is they're not an equally weighted average. You know, the updates and the amount of updates and the amount of time that goes into it, I think is very important to look at. And I like the averages personally.
Yeah, I probably should have prefaced this by saying, if you're unfamiliar with how it was 25% for all four of the big four of On3, 247, Rivals, and ESPN. Now it's 35% for On3 and 247, 20% for Rivals, and 10% for ESPN. What I like about this is, you know, Nico was not a consensus five-star prospect. Why? I bring this up all the time because ESPN is stupid. Had him, 247 had Nico as the number two prospect overall. On3 had Nico as the number one prospect overall. Rivals had him as like the number eight prospect overall. And then ESPN had him at like number 35.
Yeah.
David Hobbs, another one, like 247, Rivals, On3 had him way up there, and ESPN had him down. So, like, it would affect guys like that with this new average. But also, look ahead to 2024, and I know you're kind of working on a piece right now. You don't have to give them all, but who are some maybe commits or maybe big-time targets in 2024 that might see the biggest movement with this new weighted average?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's J.J. Harrell's going to be one of the first. You know, yeah. he's gonna climb right up. You know, Caleb Beasley, Marcus Gorey, all those guys are going to see their, you know, averages bump up because of this change. You know, Marcus Gorey and Amari Jefferson's another one. And Amari Jefferson, an in-state target. Boo Carter, an in-state target. Those guys are not rated or rated properly, in my opinion, across certain, you know, platforms. Amari Jefferson got his four-star on three earlier in the week. And, you know, I don't even know that he's rated on ESPN. But the key there for me is the continued evaluation process. And I think, you know, it's not necessarily that maybe ESPN, the folks there doing it, have a bad eye for talent. It's just that once they make that evaluation, it doesn't change. They don't come off of it. It's once to twice a year, if that, it seems like. I don't know when their changes are, but, you know, for me, look at David Hobbs. I mean, when he first, you know, from the time he first camped with Tennessee and then they offered shortly after and then started their pursuit, he's a guy that put on 20 more pounds heading into his senior season. And it started getting interest from Alabama, Georgia. He got, you know, better on the field and putting in different kinds of work, different types of training. He just looked like a different kid, you know, and it never, you know, lined up for him in those rankings. And it, you know, cost him that, you know, five-star consensus ranking at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I'm not trying to just poo-poo, you know, the four-letter network. I mean, ESPN, it's what we all grow up watching, what we watch sports on now and everything. It's just, I feel like it's so stretched thin a lot of the times to where, like you said, and it's a really good point that you brought up. You might make an initial evaluation and then that's it. Like, I don't have it in front of me, but like, take an Arian Carter also, for instance. Boy, I'd love to see what his final ranking was over there, because he shot up everywhere else because he had a great senior season, first couple of weeks of his senior season. So I think this is a really good move. I do. And you and I, obviously, your life is recruiting. I love dabbling and working, recruiting and helping you guys out. It's interesting. But I like this new weighted averages and everything, because I think it shows you where the resources are, the want to is, and all that type of stuff. So wanted to get your thoughts on that. Overall, quickly out the door, the start for the 2024 class. Again, five commitments, couple from the in-states. Now you get a talented wide receiver. J.J. Harrell, what do you like about this class so far?
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee off to a great start in this class right now, in my opinion. Marcus Gorry recently, J.J. Harrell recently. Both those guys really high on Tennessee's board. Both guys that they feel like fit and do certain things in their system that can, blossom into eventual stars. I don't think Marcus Gorry, going back to him, I don't think he gets enough credit. He's a new four-star. At on three, and he's only going to continue to climb. I mean, if his senior season backs up what his junior season did and the measurables are out there, Marcus Gorry is going to continue to climb. So, I mean, I think Tennessee's off to a great start in this class. March, a busy month for the Vols. Things opening back up. We're going to have a junior day this weekend, but at the same time, going to have a lot of kids coming through spring practice, but you're really starting to see the direction Tennessee's heading in this class and a lot of the on-field success from 2022 starting to pay off.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that junior day coming up real quick. The viewers would kill me if I didn't ask you this. A couple big-time guys who are going to be on campus this week. Who to look out for coverage from yourself, Austin Price, all of us over at On3?
Yeah, there's a handful of guys coming in that we're still working to confirm. Some guys are right now in that contemplation stage of, am I coming this weekend or would I rather come back for a spring practice? Like Caleb Odom was a guy that we felt like earlier in the week would come in for a visit this weekend, check Tennessee out on a junior day, but it seems like he's probably going to come in April 1st. Still could end up in this weekend. We'll see what happens with him. But a couple of guys, that I keep my eye on. We'll see if Alvin Henderson, the 2025 running back from Alabama, makes it in. I mean, he's expressed multiple times since, dating back to January that he wanted to be here. Jarevious Hall, the South Carolina defensive lineman, is an intriguing one to watch for me. Justin Tuanu, I'm not really sure how to say the last name. It has a ton of U's in it, though. So I know that that's
it's like
in
that
there.
It's like that old Ole Miss quarterback that played in the AAF. You remember?
Yeah. What was his name?
Jordan Tiamu?
Tiamu, something like that. But this is with an N.
Yeah, yeah.
So, he's supposed to come in this weekend. He's expressed to Tennessee that he wants to come in. But will he come and check out a spring practice? Is he going to come across the country twice and in one, kind of 2 month window here? So we'll see what guys get in. But those are some of the guys that have expressed that they may come in so far.
Matt Ray, he does a fantastic job. Love having him as a teammate over at VolQuest.com. Be sure to follow his work there and on Twitter at Matt_Ray_. Matt, appreciate it, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Eric.
Matt Ray, VolQuest.com. All right. When we return, we'll catch up with our buddy Josh Ward. That is coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. But first, I'll remind you guys about a proud sponsor of the show. That is FanDuel Sportsbook. It's midway point of the NBA season. It's here, and it's the perfect time to download the FanDuel Sports app. It's America's number one sportsbook, because new customers right now get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, it's secure, and it's super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to the point scores to threes drained, all that and more. FanDuel also lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That is FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. Hey guys, welcome back. A Wednesday edition of the show. I have a conversation I recorded earlier in the day with Josh Ward for Little Ward Wednesday. Here is that chat with Josh_Ward.
All right, Josh Ward for a little Ward Wednesday action. Again, recording before the late, late game. Josh said he wasn't a big fan of jumping on at 11:30 to get a little Ward. Yeah, you don't want to do that, right? You don't want to stay up till midnight to record something?
9 p.m. Eastern time tip-offs. Crime against humanity. I've been banging this drum for years. It makes no sense. I'm going to make the same complaint today that I've made for the last 5 to 10 years. So, no, I'm not a big fan of post 11:30. Plus, you know, we'll find out. But with all the reviews, and you can run into overtimes and all the stoppages, yeah, not a fan.
Yeah, it's not going to be fun. So let's look back at the win against South Carolina. Tennessee just needed a win. Needed a win in the worst way. He got a 40-burger win, you know, and you get Josiah Jordan-James coming back and scoring 18 points and another double-double from Zakai Ziegler. What do you think about the way Tennessee bounced back and getting Josiah Jordan-James back, which I think is huge?
Yeah, see, to me, that is the biggest part. And these comments are regardless of the results this week. To me, the last couple of weeks have been about getting healthy, getting Josiah back. Julian Phillips is a part of this conversation, too. But being at full strength, the Texas A&M game was somewhat frustrating game and one that Tennessee led, had a chance to win late, mistakes again, kind of cost Tennessee. But part of that conversation was Jimmy Dykes on the broadcast talking about Josiah looked like he could go in warm-ups but didn't and appeared critical in the way that he was describing Josiah not playing. And then Rick Barnes had some curious comments after the game talking about, I have to believe that Josiah and Julian are doing everything they can to get back. And then the next day or two, the conversation was, well, they're definitely not 100%. Well, if they're definitely not 100%, then in my opinion, they definitely should not have played against Texas A&M, because to me, it's about what you do a few weeks later. And getting a win against Texas A&M would not have changed much about what Tennessee can do in March. It could have potentially helped their seeding, but it might have had no impact, even winning at Texas A&M. So getting healthy, having Josiah, they need Julian, because that allows them to be as good as they possibly can be on defense. And I know fans have heard about defense all season long, but that's what makes this team as good as it can be. They're more versatile with Julian, Josiah, Jemai Meshack, who is a big positive over the last few weeks, and then everybody else, the roles that they play. Offensively, there were times where if Zakai's in foul trouble, they didn't have Josiah or Julian, who's creating on offense? You know, Jemai would try, and he's done it at times, but he's not a creator of the offense yet. And Vescovi can only do so much. So having Julian and Josiah gives them more options. It makes them better at getting to the free throw line. They are better free throw shooters, I think, than just about anybody on the team in terms of the ability to get there and knock them down. So it's about getting healthy. And this week will give us a better idea of how they're playing against quality tournament teams. But they had to get healthy to be able to do what everybody wants them to do in March.
I asked this on the starting lineup Tuesday morning when I was filling in for Tyler Ivins. And in Tyler Ivins' fashion, for the numbers right, Tennessee's going to have, or Tennessee has five seniors that they're honoring. If you add up their total, if you take their jersey numbers, add it up, what is that number? Do you know?
See, can I do quick math? So 30 is a big number. 13 is 43. This is great.
Keep going.
Yeah. Man, this is catching me off.
Tyree Key.
You know, I don't even know that I can picture his number right now. This is sad. And by the way, I'll make my off balance guess in a moment. I'm terrible with basketball numbers, which I learned years ago. I know all football numbers, but because you can see their faces, you don't pay attention to the numbers. I knew Josiah right off the bat, 30. So, I don't know, 60?
105.
105? They got big numbers there. Okay, so I missed one.
So you got 25 from Suns.
Uros is 33, right? Yes. Yeah, so that puts you at 63, right?
So you got 33 from Uros, 25 from Santiago. You got 30 from Josiah Jordan-James, 13 from Olivier, and then 4 for Tyree Key. It's 105. Anyway, a roundabout way of asking.
I got trivia on Lockdown Falls today. I love it. What? And missed terribly.
Yeah, big time, big time. What?
And I left out the largest person in the SEC in Uros in my calculation and came up with it right after. So I do want the record to show I came up with the missing 33 very quickly.
What have these guys brought for Tennessee over the last couple of years? I know the question was asked if any of these guys would entertain coming back for a COVID year. I doubt Tennessee will have any of these guys next year, but you never know. But what is this group, some of these guys like Josiah and Santi, what do they kind of meant for Tennessee basketball?
I am a big fan of these guys in terms of how good they are, but also how they've represented Tennessee. And I know that Josiah is one player to choose from. He's the guy we're talking about a lot right now. But he arrived with a five-star next to his name, and that changes the perception of a player before anybody ever sees him play, before he shows up on campus. And he was not a typical five-star in terms of he shows up and he's actually ready for the NBA. The rules just make him wait a year. He needed to develop more, and then he dealt with injury right away. And it was not a good season to be a freshman in college, especially for him, where Lamonte Turner had the injury, and it was a COVID year, so he didn't get to play a normal season in any kind of way. But he's developed and, to me, has been a terrific ambassador for the University of Tennessee and has also been a really good player, underrated in my opinion. Vescovy's been terrific, but they've been in big games. They have the biggest games they still have left to play to win, and that will ultimately determine how they're viewed. But Olivier Kamwa is a guy that arrived knowing he needed to learn and has developed into, I think, a quality SEC player. Uros is a guy that arrived and I said, I just don't think that guy can play in the SEC. And I was wrong. He can. Could he have done more? Sure. But he developed into an SEC player who could help Tennessee and was a great teammate and loves Tennessee and was able to graduate and all that stuff. So it's about winning, and that's how people remember most players. But these guys won a lot of games. They had Tennessee ranked high a lot of the time that they were here, and they represented Tennessee as well as you can hope. And by the way, when you're talking about winning, most of it's about what you do in the NCAA tournament. They won the first SEC tournament title in 43 years.
Yeah.
Many fans had never seen it happen before until this group brought it to Knoxville.
Yeah, it'll be fun to try to keep up with these guys because, Vescovy's going to play overseas, I would imagine. Same with Kamwa. And probably Uros as well. All three of those guys will likely have a postgraduate basketball career overseas. That'll be fun to see. All right, last thing, Tennessee baseball. Tony Vitello suspended from over the weekend. You get Maui Ahuna back and eligible. Your thoughts on Tennessee baseball, kind of where this is and how big it is for the Vols now to be at full strength?
Well, it's another statement on baseball that fans were eagerly awaiting the eligibility in February of a shortstop, who, again, they've never seen play other than maybe catching some highlights on YouTube. So 5 years ago, fans would not have known who he was until after the news came out that he was eligible, but there's a big anticipation. I also think he's really important for what the lineup can be. They have to replace incredible bats from a year ago, so he helps with that. Can be a difference maker in the field, and we have seen that the pitching, which we already knew was really good, looks like it's going to pick up where it left off last year in terms of ability. So, long way to go in this season in terms of what Tennessee can be. We'll really find out when Tennessee goes to Baton Rouge and when Tennessee plays Vanderbilt in Knoxville and plays Florida in the SEC. That's what's going to tell us what Tennessee really is this year. But fans are ready. Fans are into it. The Free Maui movement, whatever you want to call it. It shows how much fans care about what the baseball program is doing. And Tony is their guy, so we'll still see how everything finishes up, but having those guys back in the dugout and Ahuna back on the field, that can allow the team to kind of maybe focus a little bit more on baseball. It's a long season, and it just like basketball, it's about what you do in the postseason, not the regular season, but Tennessee's going to be really good in both.
Josh Ward here on the program every single Wednesday for Ward Wednesday. Josh, you and Jason Swain over at 99.1 The Sports Animal kind of launched this new exciting thing for the show.
Yeah, we can talk, and going to try to show a little bit that we can write a little bit. So it's going to be a weekly newsletter. We launched it last week, so you can go and check out what we wrote last week to get an idea of what it is. But it's weekly. It'll be in your email inbox. No spam. So I think you're going to drop a link if anybody wants to check out the description. Yeah. But appreciate anybody that wants to subscribe. It'll be a way to kind of, at the end of the week, see a collection of what we talked about on the show. So instead of sending you here and there, it'll have a rundown for you, plus talk about what the biggest topics are. So if you also want to Google it, Josh and Swain newsletter every Friday.
And that link, you can check the show notes right now, both on YouTube and wherever you're listening. And that link for the newsletter is going to be in the show description. Josh, thanks so much.
You got it. Thank you, Eric.
All right, guys, we got a final segment left here of this Wednesday edition of Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane. Appreciate you guys for hanging out with me here today. We got I'm gonna recap Tennessee's basketball win over Arkansas here in the final segment. But kind of before we get back on track here, I'm gonna get caught up with Matt Ray in segment one and Josh Ward in segment two, and staying up late to watch the ending to Tennessee and Arkansas and the
Big time injury. You know, what's that look like for Tennessee and Zakai Ziegler? You know, before we get into all that, I do want to take some time real quick. And if you are a sports talk listener in the Knoxville area or in the greater East Tennessee area, whether you listen to the Sports Animal, whether you listen to Fox Sports Knoxville, whether you listen to Tony Basilio, whether you listen to Locked On Vols, the Vol Quest podcast, I mean, just whatever avenue that you listen to, you know the name Roger, right? A big Tennessee fan, you know, with a big heart. And he called in and had a stuttering issue. And that's probably why you know who Roger is. But you know who Roger is because he called all the time. And he asked insightful questions. And for the most part, everybody was so gracious, you know, with him on the show and allowing him to ask the questions and hang out and be a part of the family. And you know, for those of us lucky enough to do this for a living, you probably met Roger. And a lot of you guys maybe have met Roger before. You know, really nice guy. And you know, saw word that on Tuesday, that he had passed away. And man, I just want to say thoughts and prayers to Roger's family. I've met some of them before. I've met Roger. I've talked to Roger. I've seen him out on remotes many times. I'm not going to act like I'm close to the family or anything because I'm not. But it just kind of goes to show you that life is short, and that just to be kind to everybody and to always, you know, take advantage of this life, because you never know when your number might be called. It's to my understanding, Roger got kind of sick there towards the end, and you know, right before he passed. But a guy, again, I'll say it again, big time Tennessee fan. All right, huge Tennessee fan. Big heart, such a kind soul. Ask insightful questions. I love answering and listen to Roger ask questions because they were good questions. It's kind of sad. So thoughts and prayers to Roger's family. And again, if you are a part of the Sports Talk family, you know, and no matter who you listen to, you know, here in the greater Knoxville, you know, East Tennessee area, you know exactly who I'm talking about. And so I kind of wanted to pass on my condolences and thoughts and prayers to the family here on Locked On Vols. Okay, so Tennessee responded last night in a major way. Not only did Tennessee pick up a much-needed win, Tennessee got a win over an opponent in Arkansas at home to finish off the home slate, 12-2? Picking up another quad one win, big time win for Tennessee in a last week that's really important, because you know, going on the road at Auburn is going to be tough to win at, because it's a house of horrors for Tennessee. That's where Tennessee concludes the regular season on Saturday. But big time win on senior night. But also, you lost Zakai Ziegler not even 3 minutes into this ball game, and the way Tennessee responded and the way Tennessee went on and handled business was really impressive. You know, give Tennessee credit on that one. A team that's been bit by the injury bug, that's not been 100% pretty much, you know, in the last 2 months, it feels like, that plays down to level of competition, that is frustrating to no end on the offensive side of the basketball. A team that's had so many different shortcomings in the last couple weeks, but maybe when you're delivered your biggest blow yet, how you responded was the right way late on Tuesday night. Tennessee goes on to win 75-57 over Arkansas. A really, really good win. But the story of the night, of course, is not beating the crap out of a good basketball team in Arkansas. But the story of the night is, you know, what's this mean for Zakai Ziegler? Zakai Ziegler, it was the 17:05 minute mark of the first half. He had got Tennessee on the board and scoring to begin this game, and he's dribbling baseline, trying to get rid of the ball. He does, and then he goes and he plants, and it's a non-contact injury, and he goes down, and he grabs that knee. And immediately you're saying, hey, we're not doctors here, but that's ACL. You've seen it so many different times. And it's unfortunate, too, because, man, when you think about it, The similarities to what happened to Hendon Hooker are so surreal. Both Hendon Hooker and Zakai Ziegler injure what looks like the same part of their body, the ACLs, Both suffer injuries in the next to final regular season game of the year. Both are non-contact injuries. It's unfortunate, but man, it's kind of eerie how similar those are. And we'll see. We'll get the final word sometime today about Zakai Ziegler. I'm sure they'll put out a statement and exactly what it is. But it looks like the ACL. And I said on radio, I filled in Monday and Tuesday on the starting lineup, 99.1 The Sports Animal. I was talking with Logan Ward, and I said Tennessee can overcome, you know, some things. They can overcome a bad shooting night from Santiago Vescovi. They can overcome an uncharacteristic, like, you know, defensive performance, you know, when it's the nation's number one defense. What this team cannot overcome ever is a bad night from Zakai Ziegler, because as Zakai Ziegler goes, the Tennessee basketball team goes. I felt like, you know, and I even said pretty much, you know, you can't overcome that. He's the most important player in your team. And then you lose him, you know, likely, again, not a doctor, but it looks like he's done, you know. And that's unfortunate. He is such a critical piece to your puzzle here. So that is a big-time concern moving forward for Tennessee. Big-time concern for Tennessee moving forward. But the way that Tennessee responded at home on senior night to go on and win by 20, win by 18, what an incredible response. 16 points from Olivier Komwa on senior night, 7-12 shooting on the night in pretty much 30 minutes. 14 points from Santiago Vescovi on senior night, 5-11 shooting from the field, 3-7 from three-point land. 11 points from Josiah Jordan-James on senior night, 3-8 shooting from the field. Let's see, where's that other senior? Uros Plavsic, 4 points on senior night. Tyreek Key did not play, of course. The seniors led the way. The seniors led the way on this night. All three of Tennessee's seniors, 3 of the 4 Tennessee seniors who played, finished the game in double figures. Jonas Adu had 8 points and 3 rebounds. Thought he played pretty well. 7 points from Julian Phillips, who made his return, which was huge. And Toby Awaka, who came off the bench. 6 points from Jabai Meshack, who remained in the starting lineup. And this is a Tennessee team that shot 50% from the field. Made 4 of 16 three-pointers for 25%. Had only 10 turnovers, but scored 19 points off those 10 turnovers. You look more to the home stats. Tennessee scored 30 points from the bench, 42 points in the paint, 19 points off turnovers, 16 points on second chance opportunities, or 13 points rather. They had 10 offensive rebounds, 7 points in fast break opportunities. Tennessee was on. Tennessee led for 38 minutes and 38 seconds in this game over Arkansas. Just a really, really, really good effort from Tennessee. So I remain there. You know, credit where credit is due. Tennessee could have folded and just laid down. You lost your most important player, in my opinion, and probably that of yours. You lost him early in this game. You could have said, oh my gosh, you know, what's going on? We've been without Josiah Jordan-James for so long and Julian Phillips for so long, and now we're without Tyreek Key, and now Zakai Ziegler, who's more important than them all. You know, what's going on? But Tennessee didn't go to sleep, didn't lay down. Tennessee came back, found a way, and beat the crap out of Arkansas, a team, again, that is a much different basketball team now than it was 2 weeks ago. It's got 2 projected lottery picks on that roster. Is it Anthony Black, I believe is his name. He's a really, really good player. And of course, you know, Nick Smith Jr. is a really, really good player. Both those guys, 13 points and 12 points, respectively in this game. And the leading scorer actually for Arkansas Council was held to 11 points in this basketball game. So credit Tennessee, what a win at home. Tennessee will conclude the regular season on the road, on the plains, against Auburn. And, we'll see exactly what the status of Zakai Ziegler is, but you watch that play just like I did. It does not look good, and so Tennessee will once again try to find a way. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Vols. Appreciate you guys tuning in, hanging out with me here today. We'll come back. We'll do it again for a Thursday, and big thanks to Matt Ray and Josh Ward for stopping by and hanging out with us here today, and most of all, thank you. Please like this video on YouTube, hit the thumbs up, heart-shaped button, share this video, and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day. Hey, let's do it again tomorrow, guys. Same time, same place. This is Locked On Vols.